It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 56 of the Taking Notes Podcast for Sunday, March 11th, 2007. I am Bruce Elgort, here with
Julian Robichaud.
Julian, what
Bruce,
day is today?
Today is Sunday, March 11th. We're celebrating two things today, actually. The first thing, of course, is daylight savings time. We have a new daylight saving time. That's without the S on the end of daylight
and
saving.
The world did not end, right?
Somehow we all survived it, or at least you and I did. I don't know. Maybe this will be like one of those movies where you go to work on Monday and no one else shows up.
I had one of those weeks actually last week, but we won't go there right now.
and then the other thing we're celebrating, of course, is the beta release of the Notes 8 client, mm-hmm. which Bruce, I believe you were first out of the gate, kind of announcing that on Friday evening, weren't you?
Yeah, I was just waiting. You know, it just took me back a long time, a couple of years, when I used to wait for, say, the 5X betas or the 6X betas to come online. You know, you kept checking the headers on the web pages to see what they were running and stuff like that. But actually, Julian, it's the Domino server. It's the client. It's the standard client and the rich client. And I think, as we learned today from, you know, in the podcast with Andre Gerard, that the composite application designer pieces are available now too, and the discussion forums for the beta are alive and well. It's really interesting reading what people like about, you know, Notes and Domino 8 and what they, you know, may not like, or they may suggest some changes to. But happy Notes Domino 8 beta 2.
It's Hanover Day here at the Taking Notes Podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So I mentioned Andre Gerard, and Julian, just before we go off and listen to Andre yes. Gerard, why don't you tell us?
Yeah, coincidentally enough, we just interviewed Andre Gerard, and you will be hearing a lot from him in just a second here. He's the the project lead, I guess, for the Domino Designer client now.
Correct.
And just started a new blog on the IBM site, Best Practice Makes Perfect, and he's just a longtime Lotus Notes programmer guy. And written a lot of articles, done several I don't know if he's done several sessions at various conferences and things. I know he's done at least a few at Lotusphere. Mm. And, you know, real smart guy. And he's going to tell us all about Domino Designer 8 and what that's all about. And some of the interesting things we talk about actually are he really gets into wiring, mm-hmm. and the component designer aspects. Mm-hmm. So some good stuff there.
And how to just make a feature happen in the Notes client by creating a checkbox, right?
Absolutely. I wish we could all do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I think we should listen.
I think so,
too. Let's see what he's got to say.
Well, let's hear what he has to say.
Very good. All right. Well, hello out there in podcast land. This is Julian Robichaud. We're talking to Andre Gerard today. Andre comes to us from, I guess, sunny Minnesota. Is that right?
Well, it's not very sunny today, but by and large,
yes.
Reasonably.
All right, Andre, for anyone out there who might not know you for some odd reason, tell us who you are.
Well, I'm just this guy. I work for IBM, and I'm the project leader for Domino Designer. So I get to have minions, and they mostly do what I tell them.
Okay, well, now, what did you do before you started working for Lotus? You've been there for several years, but certainly you had a life before Lotus, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I started out in corporate IT, actually, and got introduced to Lotus Notes for a project we were doing there, and I thought, this is kind of fun. And so I hung around with that department and did all sorts of cool things with version 3. And stuck with it for a while, and people kept telling me, well, you know, you should go work for Lotus. And so eventually I did, after a short spell of consulting.
Yeah, now you used to be more of a Lotus script guy before you got to Lotus. I mean, you're doing a lot of things in, you know, probably C and C++ now, aren't you?
Well, yes. I'm working on the actual product, and of course none of the product is written in Lotus script except for the templates.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the template team. I'm working on the designer product. And so, you know, it's nice because I'm getting to fix a lot of the things that really bugged me as a developer. when I was developing Notes applications, and I still develop some Notes applications from time to time, but more for demo purposes or to test out a new feature or something like that.
Yeah. Now, do you miss being kind of a Notes developer as opposed to a developer of Notes?
Well, you know, either way is fun. I'm having a good time. And like I say, I get to do the little demo apps and try out new stuff, which is a lot more fun than designing the 500th form with the following fields on it and putting input validation formulas in it. I don't ever have to do a finished app. I just get to do the fun bits.
Right. And really, from now on, we can just submit bugs directly to you, right?
Well, you can try.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I write a lot of bug reports myself.
I'm going to put a link on the podcast to automatically submit a bug.
Oh, good. Thank you.
No
yes.
problem.
We'll have your email address on there.
We do like people to go through support because that way they're in the process and there's a way to get attention to a bug. Whereas if I report it, well, no customer's complaining about it. It's just me. And so we're very customer focused and we want to fix the things, of course, that people are bothered by, and I don't count in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah. See, now I see you're now downplaying your role as a developer of the product. Okay. Well, and I guess from the customer facing side, you just started a new blog on the IBM site.
I did.
Yeah. The bold title of Best Practice Makes Perfect. So
you think that's bold?
No. I think it's great.
I don't want to be exercising hubris here, but
no, bold in a good way.
Okay.
Well, and I know that I've been one of the people that's been kind of not really taunting you to start a blog, but I've mentioned it to you a few times, I think, in emails and things. And I mean, what made you finally take the leap? I know that's something that you said you had thought about doing for a while, but now why now?
Well, you know, going to Lotusphere, everybody tells me, and so that reminds me that it's something that's been on my list for a while. And I don't know that I have a whole lot to say that's brand new. I'm sure a lot of what I plan to talk about is things that people have talked about, but it's on the IBM site, and so I hope it'll get a little more exposure and I can point people to things that they need and just generally be part of the solution there.
Andre, what kind of things do you plan on talking about on the new blog?
Well, as the title suggests, I'm most interested in best practices for Notes development, how to do things in a way that'll provide good performance and reusability, serviceability, and just generally good ideas, little things that people might not know how to do that you can do.
Will we get to see a lot of sample code?
Some sample code, I think. You know, when I have a lot of sample code, I tend to write an article because they pay me for that, whereas the blog, you know, it's just sort of if I have some spare minutes. So I'm not going to write a lot of code for it.
Well, now, I was actually looking on your personal site the other day, and you have kind of the list of publications, and you're pretty verbose. You know, it seems you've written a lot of articles over the last 5 years or so.
I get two or three every year, yeah, you know.
You get paid.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and Developer Works pays very well, so.
Yeah, the Vue pays very well, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, you know, those are, you know, any aspiring writers out there in the audience that, you know, if you have a good subject and you're willing to write a lot of words.
Oh, we're always looking for more articles for Developer Works. Please submit.
And if you guys want to know how to submit articles to Developer Works, I think we had a short discussion with Tara Hall and Craig Lorden. I forgot what episode that was. It was in the 40s somewhere. They're the guys who run the Developer Works Lotus, so. We'll mention that in the show notes. So,
yeah, what the heck? Well, now I guess on a non-blog related note, you mentioned your project lead for Domino Designer, and version eight, I guess the what used to be known as Hanover, just came out in beta yesterday.
Yes, and we're all very excited about that.
Actually,
yeah,
Friday night.
Friday night. Okay, so I was trying to
have the weekend off.
Right. Well, and now on Monday you can field not only the daylight saving time, you know, calls, but you can also go ahead and field all sorts of calls for the beta 8 client too. So
exactly.
Well, now what are we going to see in the new designer client? What is new and cool and great about that?
Well, of course, the biggest feature, the one that's right there in front of everybody, that we're that's the big selling point, we hope, for the product, is composite applications. And that is the ability to take various different Notes applications or other applications and pull them together on a single screen and have them actually talk to each other, so that you click on a row in a view, for instance, and that sends out a message to all the other little bits on the screen saying, hey, somebody just clicked on Bruce Elgort, and then information about Bruce Elgort would come up in other windows in the screen. And this is going to be a big learning area, I think, for Domino developers coming up, because the best practices for this in terms of Domino development have not really been established. When you design your applications for use in composite applications, you have to set up the hooks so that you can tie them together to each other and put in the logic that says, well, when you get a message that says such and such, here's what you have to do. Fill in the value in this field, or navigate to this row in the view, or pull up this document. And so there's a lot to learn there.
All right. Now, if you're designing a composite application, can you do that completely within Designer now, or do you need some other tools?
Well, you do need some other tools. There are parts that you do in Designer, and a lot of the work that's gone into Designer for version 8 has been adding those parts. We have two new design elements, which we're calling composite applications and wiring properties, although that's not what you'll see in the beta. We're renaming it to be consistent throughout the product. But that allows you to store the information about your composite application in your NSF file and or in a template and inherit it to an NSF file. And then you've also got a composite application editor that lets you reach into the NSF file from the Java environment and put those bits together and say, I want to create a new component. And by the way, it comes from a Notes database, and here's the Notes database I'm selecting, and it's a view. It's the same thing, you know, when you're designing a frame set to select the content from the frame set, that level of functionality. But then after that, you've got a Java interface again to connect the bits to each other once you've got them all in your screen and hook up that functionality so that when part A talks, part B gets the message.
Okay, and then for older applications that we want to add wiring to, do we have to compact them and get them in the latest ODS first?
The ODS hasn't changed. What has actually, to get an application, to get a Notes application into a composite app, you don't have to do anything to it. You just have to put it in there. It's to get it talking to the other pieces that you have to do something special. And so you could easily just put it in there and have it for reference and be able to open documents in it. And there's some benefit just to having it on the same screen. But of course, you could do that with a frame set. Where you get the real benefit is having the bits that talk to each other and also bringing in content that's not from an NSF file. You can write Java applets that manipulate and display the information as graphs, or do a tag cloud. That was one of the demos we had at Lotusphere, where you're summarizing in some information and highlighting some of it as more important or less important, pulling in a person's interests. And so you've got to have then the code somewhere to publish that list of interests and the weights of them and push them to the tag cloud.
Okay. And I know that with the Notes 8 beta, there's two versions you can download, the C++ version that's sort of the classic Notes client, and then you have the bigger Eclipse one. Can you do this in either one of those, or do you have to be using that classic client to be doing the Designer?
Good question.
You can't use the composite application unless you have the full client, and you also can't design the composite application itself unless you have the full client, because all that code is in Java. You could go into Domino Designer and create the new types of design elements, but you can't do anything with them unless you're in the Java environment. And so you don't actually have to know any Java to do this. It's still, you know, you're working in Domino Designer and you're working with user-friendly UIs, and you've got XML files, but we have an editor for the XML files so that you don't have to know the XML syntax of WSDL, which is what we're using to represent the properties and actions that a component uses to interface with the rest of the world. So it's all in there in the standard client, and we really expect that the basic or traditional client is only going to be used by folks who don't have the hardware required to run the Java environment.
Mm-hmm. Just a point of interest here, I did download both the rich client and the standard client, and the Notes 8 client was pretty much like 7X with a couple nice new features. The UI is a little more refined. You have that instant spelling. The menu structure has changed a little bit, you know, so it kind of does mimic the same menu structure that you guys put into the Rich client. I also ran the Rich client in on my Mac via Parallels under Windows XP with a gig of memory, and it performed really well. So, you know, and I also experienced the wow factor too for the first time. So, but you know, but great job. I mean, so far my first impressions, you know, I did have that wow experience. So,
yeah
I've been holding off.
The folks on the Java team have done a great job on putting those UIs together and giving it a nice modern look, because you know the Notes UI hasn't changed all that much over the years, and it was due for an update, and this is really nice. Mm-hmm. It's also nice, you know, as the Domino Designer PL, a lot of times we're adding a checkbox because there's some new option, and all the work we do is we add a checkbox. And then the client team goes away and does all the code that's behind that to implement that, and then I get to stand up on stage at Lotusphere and say, and here's this new checkbox we've added. Yay! And I get credit for it. So that
it was so easy to add.
Yeah, it was a breeze for me.
Andre, can you go back a little bit and talk about you know, the wiring application and how you know, you surface that, and what someone's going to experience, what kind of UI it is, because I haven't gotten to that yet, and I'm sure a lot of people haven't. Like you said, it's a new, you know, development concept, and tell us about it.
Right. Okay. Well, of course, before you have a wiring interface, you've got to have something to wire. And so what you have to do is separately, before you get into the Java end of it, you need to define the properties that your application will publish. And when I say your application, I'm talking about your NSF. So the properties it'll publish and the actions it can receive. And each of these will have data types, and so you have to define the data types. Now, like I said, we have an editor for that that makes it reasonably simple and user-friendly to do that.
And the editor is where?
The editor is in the Java part of the code, but you can launch into it from Domino Designer.
Okay.
So what happens is you're going to go, let's say you've got an existing application and you want to composite app enable it. So you go into Domino Designer, you go into the composite application's wiring properties view, and you click the action button that says create a new one, create a new wiring properties.
Okay.
And this is actually what you're creating is a WSDL file that's stored in a design element that's very similar to a file resource. And so it's XML, but you don't see the XML. It just creates the design element for you, and then you click the open button. And the open button, just like the file resource open buttons elsewhere, launches into an external app, but in this case, the external app is one that we provide that lets you specify your data types, your properties, which are the information you publish, and you have to give them names and descriptions and like that. And the actions, which is the things that other components can trigger in yours. Mm-hmm. So now you have hooks in your application. You have outputs and you have inputs. And what you can then do is when you bring this in as a component into a composite application, which of course can bring in many different NSFs or even things that are not NSFs, then each of these has these hooks defined, and you can click on one of those components and say, okay, show me the wiring for this one. And it'll list for you all of the inputs and all of the outputs of that component. It'll also show you other components. And when you click on one of the outputs of your current component, it'll highlight the ones that are compatible with it in terms of data type in the others. And you can just drag a line across and connect them. And that's how you wire them up.
Okay. And just to clarify things, this is going to launch your Eclipse development environment, right?
No.
Ah.
When you're working with composite applications, the idea is that it's intended for use by a sufficiently sophisticated end user, not an Eclipse developer.
Excellent point. That's what I wanted to clarify. I knew that. I was just asking.
Oh, why, thank you. How helpful.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who may not know, and this is a one-dimensional podcast. So.
Yeah. No, if you wanted to do this, I mean, let's say you have your app already set up. You have your NSF files, and they've got the hooks in. They've got their stored WSDL file that tells them what their inputs and outputs are. Well, you go into the Notes client. Let's say you don't even have Domino Designer. You go into the Notes client, you press Control-N, creating a new application. And there's a new selection on that list that says blank composite application. Say OK. Fill in the name.
Okay.
But what you're doing is you're creating a database that has only a composite application design element in it. And now, as you launch into this application, you're not seeing a Notes view anymore, you're seeing the composite app UI. And then you can say, okay, I want to edit this composite app. And that puts you into the editing screen where you can drag in PIM components and drop them where you want them to be, or you can create new NSF components by specifying which database and view or form or whatever you wanted to appear in that area, and then you drag them in and put them where you want. Mm-hmm. And once you've done that, then, you know, right-click on the component, select wiring properties, and go to town, you know, link them up.
And that is available in the current beta?
That is available in the current beta, yeah.
Okay, and it's an installable option, I believe, too, right?
It's called the Composite Application Editor.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think kind of a real-world example of that is one of the things that got demoed in a Lotusphere session on the component designer was that they had a portal page that had three components. There was it was essentially three panes on the page, and one of the panes had I think a name lookup, so you could search for names in some directory. And then on the right hand side there was information about the person whose name you selected, and at the bottom there was a Notes view, and the Notes view was a discussion database. And what happened is in the top left pane, if you search for Bruce Elgort, then what would happen is you'd search for Bruce Elgort, you know, hit search or something like that. It would come back up, and when it came back up, based on the wiring properties, the wiring to the right hand pane would show the Bruce Elgort person properties from the directory. And then the view from the discussion database, based on the wiring from that, would actually take the Bruce Elgort name, and then since those two things were wired together, then that view would only show the discussion topics where Bruce was the author.
Yeah,
so it was almost
it was
like a single
navigating.
Category view.
Actually, okay. It's just navigating to, but you could do it as a single category view to it. You know, it's just a question of what logic you put in to receive the value, because that form database that was at the bottom of that demo that was categorized by the person's name, that has an action in it. And you, again, in Domino Designer, you create that action and you use a couple of new classes that we've created. The Notes Property Broker is the main one that you generally need to read the value that was published by some other component. You don't even know what other component it was necessarily. You just have set up a hook that says, you can give me a name and I'll navigate to that name. Or, as you suggested, you can give me a name and I'll restrict the display to just that name. It's up to you what you do with the name. But the whole idea is you want to define your application with a sensible set of actions to begin with, so that when someone does publish a relevant value and wires it to your application, then you do something sensible with it. And in this case, it's just to navigate to the person's name.
Okay, so with the wiring, the way that works is some value or set of values comes in through the wiring.
In this
and
case,
then your
the
application,
name is Elgort, yes.
Right, and then your application knows what to do in that case based on the wire that it was sent down on.
Right. Of course, you know, this depends on your selecting a sensible wire to connect it to. Obviously, if you just define everything as data type string, then you can connect everything to everything. And so you don't get a lot of guidance in what makes sense to connect. And so this is one reason why sometimes you want to define your own data type just so that you know what kind of value you're expecting. And you get some guidance in the wiring tool rather than just being able to hook anything to anything. You want to hook like data types. And this is, again, an emerging best practice area, and we'll have to see what really makes the most sense. But I think there's some room for both approaches. You know, the downside of having the custom data types is, of course, that if you wanted to define some general purpose tool to just analyze what's going on with the messages in your application, wire everything up to the same action so that whenever something gets published, it says, oh, I see a publish event of such and such. But we have other tools to do that kind of diagnosis.
How is the help coming along for that portion of the, you know, the wiring?
The help?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's there, I think. Did you look in
the database? No, I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
I
reviewed a lot of help, but I reviewed mostly the help from the Domino Designer perspective, and so I ended up writing a lot of extra stuff, which is what happens when I review things. It probably drives the documentation team mad. But, yeah. It's there.
And if nothing else, then we can have maybe a few best practices blog entries on the sensibility of wiring.
Well, yeah, the sensibility of wiring, and you know what makes sense to set up your wires in advance.
Make sure your circuits are grounded.
It's the sort of thing where you know we're going to have experience with it and learn from experience what makes the most sense, because it's not always obvious just thinking about it.
Okay. All right. So you know, as you're working on the Domino client now, you know, you've been heads down with the Notes 8 client, and we've got another one coming up, you know, 8.5 or something. And you know, have you started down that path? Have you guys started planning out the future versions yet?
Yeah. Well, we're always planning in advance, and we know what features we're going to include, at least some of them. We haven't actually started doing any coding for that because we have to finish what's on our plate first. But there's always a long list of things, and you know we do what we have time for, and what's left we defer. And we know that there are lots of nice features that people would like that they haven't got yet, and some things that have been bugging them in Domino Designer that they'd like changed. And you know, working on composite apps has taken a lot of our cycles for Designer, and so we have a little short list of things that we'd really like to fix.
Okay, well, and I guess, can you tell us what the name of the next client's going to be?
No.
No.
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I Chernobyl. Don't know what the name's going to
be.
Oh, man.
I guess, you know, we're definitely heading down this Eclipse path. Have you had to learn a lot of Eclipse to start working with, you know, Designer and the Designer team? Is that something that's you know, definitely future, right?
That's definitely near future. You know, Maureen Leland, you might have seen demoed at Lotusphere. She's been doing some terrific work with the next version of Domino Designer, which will be implemented in Java, and which will incorporate a lot of the cool things you've got in the Eclipse development environment, you know, the code editors and object browsers and things like that. All of these things, stylesheet editor is built in, all these things are easy to get if you're writing it in Eclipse, whereas if we're writing it in C, it's a huge amount of effort, and then it's a wasted effort when we go to the Eclipse.
All you have to do is a checkbox, though, right?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, all I have to do is a checkbox. No, not when it comes to the LotusScript editing environment, for instance. There's way more than a checkbox involved there. And so when you're talking about things like your object browser for LotusScript or doing the pop-ups of the properties for user-defined classes, these sorts of things, much easier to do in Java. So we didn't even attempt that in the current version. We're looking at that as a future.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to wrap things up here with one of those visionary future type questions. So where do you see Lotus Notes, Domino Designer 5 years from now?
Oh, gosh, I think we're going to keep churning along. I mean, we're always adding features, and you know, 5 years in terms of the release cycles of the product is going to be like two versions, so version 10 maybe. It's still going to be in Java. I don't think that's going to change in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
I see us pulling in links to a lot of other technologies. You know, the Web 2.0 technologies and built-in RSS is already there. Our move to a Java front end is just going to allow us to integrate much more easily with a lot of different things, and I think it's going to add a lot of value to the product and also make it easier for others to build their own customizations onto it and include bits that they would like to see in there without our help.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think that's a good assessment. You know, personally, when I fired up the Java Eclipse client, I was blown away. You know, by the sheer performance and speed. I was expecting it to be dum 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 dum, but no, it was really. And I'm sure you have a ton of debug code in there, and it's probably gonna run that much faster. But besides all that stuff, Julian, more questions for Mr. Gerard, or?
Yeah, well, you know, this whole time I've been actually wanting to ask him about science fiction comedy puppeteering, and if I want to break into that genre, where do I start?
I see you've been following some links. Well, I've only really written one science fiction comedy puppet script, and I submitted it to the city of Plymouth for their consideration for making puppet shows, because they have a wagon that goes around. And I like to do some little creative things like that. It's a break from writing code. so I like to do some funny stuff. I tend to be lighthearted. I'm working on a young adult novel, too, actually.
Oh, nice.
About a little girl and her magic powers and her mole men friends and the evil dwarves who want to kill them all. And
is she using Lotus Notes?
No, Lotus Notes doesn't enter into the story, but it does have technology in it. And so this is, maybe a little bit of a change for the young adult genre, we'll see.
What, having technology? Oh, nice.
Well, yeah, cell phones and computers and...
The kids today.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
We could do a whole podcast on that,
Bruce, I think you could tell us all about that.
Oh, yeah, let's not go there.
Growing kids.
Oh boy.
All right. Teenagers. Well, you know what? Let's wrap it up. Let's.
Okay.
I think before we go down some roads that we probably shouldn't go down here. All right, Andre. Thank you so much for coming on board with us, and really, so quickly. I think we sent you the email, and you said, yeah, sure, whenever.
Yeah,
I'm open for you guys. So thank you so much.
I've never been on a podcast before, so it's new experience.
We'd love to have you back on another.
I'm always
so.
Eager.
We'd love to have you back. Thanks again, and it's always a pleasure to see you at Lotusphere. That's it. And where can we find your blog? Is it an easy URL, or should we just post it on the podcast blog?
Why don't you post it? Because I haven't, frankly, memorized it yet.
Kind of like a new cell phone number.
Yeah, kind of like that.
You never have to call it yourself.
Right.
Okay. Well, good. Bruce, anything else?
No, that's it. It's Sunday, March 11th. Happy DST change day for those of you in the United States, or most sections of the United States, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
except for Arizona and a couple of other uncivilized places like that.
All right, that's it. Thanks again, Andre, and we will see you all next time.
Great. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.